to go into the place to sow so that they will be able to reap. And we've been talking at Celebration Tabernacle the difference between being a reaper and being a receiver. It's very different. A reaper has 100% total control over the harvest because it's the one that they sowed for. It's the one that they worked for, and they have total control over it. They're reaping from the source. But that who is a receiver is only getting the overflow of somebody else's abundance, somebody else who reaped. So sometimes we think, oh, yes, I just received this, I just received that. No, the person who's reaping, that person is the person who was blessed. The person who is receiving a portion of somebody else's blessing. But the person who is reaping is blessed.
You're right.
They have 100% control over the produce. The person who's receiving, usually there's strings attached. There's some things that, some stipulations that go with that.
Yeah.
When you're a receiver, there's some stipulations. But when you are a reaper, and God is calling us in this time to be reapers. So in order to be reapers, we have to be sowers. So they were being called from the marketplace into the good ground destination, into the vineyard, to be able to be reapers so that they could deposit into and they could reap from the fullness of the harvest directly, complete control, no strings attached. God is calling us to be reapers. He's called us to be above only and never beneath. He's called us to be the lender and not the borrower. So what does that mean? Free and clear, reaping. Not to just be a receiver only, but to be a reaper, to be in control. Why? Because Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 tells us, remember the Lord your God. It is he who has given you power to be able to generate wealth. Why? To establish his covenant. Why? To fulfill the promise to previous generations. So God is calling us to be a reaper.
Diane, on this year, still in year 2021, which is the year of 11th hour breakthrough. Look at this revelation. At the 11th hour, these guys went into work. They get a full what?
Day's pay.
The next day, they don't have to look for work. They do not have work. Mm-hmm. But here it is. They're going to work all day now, the next day. So, the initial, watch this, the very initial stage where they start, they have to develop beyond that the next day. The next day, I believe they will be greatly developed past that initial 1 hour. God expects you and I to develop past our initial stage. We start something, we need to advance in it. That's very good.
That's good.
When you start something, he expects you to develop, to advance in it, to pass that initial stage. Too many of us stays at the same stage too long. We need to outgrow that level.
Yeah, because God is always preparing us for the next. He's not preparing us for what is right now.
No.
We're already prepared for that. That's why we were able to break through when that opportunity came.
Yeah.
So now the preparedness comes for the next level. God has given us great exploits. He's given us the mind of Christ. He's given us the ability to ask for wisdom, to be able to be relevant, to remain relevant.
Yeah.
Think about that. Relevancy.
They're going to die. Those guys going to do more work than they did. For 1 hour, for 2 hours, they got to develop now from that initial stage to in greatness. God expects us to advance our life into great. He give us a start, but don't stay there. It's a starting point. That was their starting point. The 11th hour was their starting point. Their breakthrough. Point. Now advance. So that says the year of the advancement life. We don't get a breakthrough to stay there. We get a breakthrough to do wondrous things, to do great and mighty things. That's why Jeremiah, he says in Jeremiah, calling me, and Jeremiah chapter 33, he says, calling me, and I will what?
Answer
you, and I will show you what? Great and awesome things that you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't
preparing
know.
You for the next.
That's right.
Preparing you for the advancement life.
Yeah.
Preparing you to cut out the middleman.
Yeah.
The middleman takes all the profit and causes all the problems. So God has called us to cut out the middleman, to be above only and never beneath. Strategic. The mind of Christ is strategic. So when you sit and you look and you begin to count the cost of things, eliminate the middleman.
Right.
Eliminate the middleman. In every area of life where you can, eliminate the middleman. Do so.
The middleman is a blessing blocker. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Your middleman is your blessing blocker. He blocks you from going to the next level because he's in the middle. You can't pass him. How are you going to pass him? He's your blessing blocker, my friend. He's standing right in the middle. There's no advancement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no advancement for you. And so you have to have a pathway. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know I'm excited this morning. You have to have a pathway. And it has to be what?
Clear.
So whatever is blocking you, get rid of it in the name of Jesus.
Above only.
Yeah.
And never beneath. Blessed in the city. Blessed in the country. Blessed in the nation. So it's continually growing from the city level to the country level to the national level. Go make disciples of all nations. Doesn't say make just disciples of your city or your country. It says all nations. So what are disciples? They are disciplined ones. They are trained ones. So in order to be able to disciple somebody, we have to be able to operate in wisdom in that area of life to be able to impart, to pass that on to others. Because there's different levels. There's knowledge. That's just when we have the information. Understanding is when you're able to do what you know. And wisdom is to be able to know what to do, when to do it, and which strategy to use.
Yes.
So we have to advance from just thinking that we know everything. Because sometimes if the pastor say the same scripture two Sundays in a row, some people just think,
Can't even hear what he repeated.
I don't want to hear that. Does he have anything else to say? Yeah. We already know that. But where is the evidence in your life?
That you have received the benefit of that scripture, because the only way you benefit is by doing it. Hearing it doesn't benefit you. It's when, because the Bible says the devil, he hears and he trembles, but he can't do it. So last time we hear, we tremble, but never get anything because we don't do it.
Do it.
The devil here too, and he heard a powerful word. He trembles.
But when you start to do it, when we start to do it, we realize how much we need the instruction.
Yeah.
Because if we're not doing anything, we don't need the instruction. We don't have no questions.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything. So there's no questions. There's nothing to work out. But once we actually start doing something, think about how many times that practical application of that. Somebody tells you something. Somebody tells me something. I even write it down. But when you actually start to do it, that's when you start asking questions.
Yeah.
That's when you want to hear it again. When you're actually doing it. Doing it makes us say, okay, wait, what did I say? Wait. Oh, wait, this happened. Now I need to know how to maneuver. I need to know what to do. So when we're doing, we're hungry for the word. We're hungry for the instructions because it's showing us how to navigate. It's showing us how to move. But if we're not doing anything, it's just sound like rah, 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 rah. Because there's no need for it because there's no doing. But when we're doing it, we need to keep hearing it.
Yeah. Because if we believe it, then we'll do it. Somebody say, I believe. Okay. Whenever time someone said, I believe, I look if he's doing what he says he believes. Because if you're not doing it, you don't believe. When you believe, you do it. When you believe, you do it. That's how I become a doer of the word. Because you know, your mind reasoning, okay, this is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. God says it, but it's not for me. It was for Paul. It was for Silas. It was for Peter. It was for James. It was for Jeremiah. You know, you can reason it out and says, no, I have to work mine out. No, it's the same word. Why? Because, Diane, here when I got it, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changed not. That's when I got it. That's when I rebuked the devil, cut the devil out. Cut him out. Is this whatsoever he said then is the same thing he's saying now, and the same thing that's gonna happen in eternity. Mm-hmm. Why? You're when I got it. God is the eternal God. When he speak in eternity, my friend. Doesn't change. God is always in eternity. We are finite. We have limitation on us. God doesn't have limitation. There's no limitation in God. He is in eternity. We're not in eternity. We're in a finite world where we have limits and time. God is not bound by time and space. We are bound by time and space. So that's why he says, I'm the same yesterday. I'm the same today, and I'm going to be the same forever. And we shall be like him one of these days. Hallelujah. That's going to be a great thing. That's going to be so awesome. I see my time is going.
Make your day count.
Thank you for tuning in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church in the beautiful city of Cocoa. For more information on this broadcast, please contact us at 321-638-0381. Tune in tomorrow to hear more about how you can make your day count.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
You are listening to the Morning Breath Podcast. Please enjoy today's show, hosted by Pastor Dan Stahlbaum.
Let's get into it today. We're in John chapter 19.
Yeah.
And pretty good sized chapter. 41 verses. I'm going to read through 22.
Okay.
Let me see. Yeah, 22, and you are going to read which translation?
New Living Translation.
Uh-huh. I'm going to read New King James.
Really?
Yeah.
You
always,
sure?
Always.
Okay, it's a good one.
I'm addicted.
All right, I must say unto you, read, sir.
So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to him, Behold the man. Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid and went out again to the praetorium, went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus answered, You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in the place